Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Earlier this week, the Ontario government relaxed the rules around businesses opening, giving retailers and others an opportunity to restart. Measuring the impact of the pandemic on the local economy is a tricky business. Northumberland County Council announced this week it has created a special task force to figure out how to get it done. In previous shows, we have looked at the agri-food sector and the effect of the crisis on farmers. We have also looked at the tourism sector, and we have talked about what's going on in Cobourg's downtown. Today, we will look at another major player, Port Hope, and see what's going on there. As we attempt to look down the road to the longer term, another area of concern is people's mental health. In today's show, we speak with an organization dedicated to helping people navigate troubled waters. It is timely as the emergency order from the provincial government is once more extended into June, and we are asked to stay strong in our resolve to keep this virus from spreading and more people dying. We will hear some great advice. So let's get started. With the provincial government slowly trying to restart the economy, local businesses face numerous challenges. Some have already adapted, pivoting into the new limitations of physical distancing, pickup or delivery, or online commerce. Business organizations and lobby groups representing the various sectors like small business, manufacturing, retail, tourism, are playing an increasingly vital role in helping get through the transition. To give us another viewpoint on the local economy, I was pleased to speak with Port Hope Chamber of Commerce CEO Brenda Whitehead. She is working both locally and across the county with business and governments to support entrepreneurs as they navigate the maze of change taking place. Here is my online conversation with her. I'm so glad to welcome Brenda Whitehead, CEO of the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome. Thank you, Robert, for having me.
Let's begin by a very straightforward question. How would you characterize the state of business in Port Hope?
I would say that that's a very deep and broad question that could have as many answers as there are businesses within the community. I think that everybody is handling things differently and that there are definite concerns. The longer it goes, obviously, the higher level of concern that it raises. I'm feeling like we're a really resilient bunch and people are banding together to support each other. And hopefully we'll get through to the other side of this.
How many businesses are opening or how many are trying to do business and how many are not? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea from an exact number perspective. It's hard enough to keep track of how many businesses there are in the community on any given day, given that the primary business focus in Port Hope is small businesses, micro businesses, obviously the retail downtown, as well as home-based professional services, not to mention our larger businesses and our manufacturers. There really is a good blend of those that could pivot and continue to offer business and those that were forced to stop serving completely based on the state of emergency and the provincial legislation.
Would it surprise you to know that the Port Hope Heritage Business District has listed about 35 businesses just in the downtown that are open? Does that surprise you?
It does not surprise me. And I don't think that it is just downtown Port Hope. We've been working very closely with the HBIA to make sure that that list stays up to date and current. So if we hear of somebody who has opened or is trying something new, then we make sure that we let the HBIA know so they can update that website. The other group that has done the same is the Port Hope Area Initiative also has a page. that they're doing the same thing, identifying who has and who hasn't. I think there's been a little bit of an influx because of the curbside opening that happened.
We talked a little bit about it earlier and you alluded to it, and that is the impact of the lockdown and the closures on businesses. Have you been talking at all to any of the business people, and what sort of things are they saying?
We have done a couple of surveys. So we did one initially as the independent Port Hope Chamber of Commerce, really to just get a sense and feeling about how people were thinking things were going to unroll, if they were able to do business, if they were not able to do business. And then we also did a joint survey with the other three chambers of commerce in Northumberland and the Business Entrepreneurship Center. And I think the biggest impact that we've seen is that there are a lot of people who have been laid off because of circumstances that are going on. So businesses have been forced to lay their staff off because of childcare, because they don't have enough business coming through their door right now to be able to pay the staff effectively. And I think that is going to have a big ripple effect on the economy as we start to unwind from this.
When you talk about people being laid off and the ripple effect, could you just elaborate on how you see that playing out?
I'm not quite sure how it will play out in the long run, but as long as people are laid off, especially if it's laid off because of childcare, because the schools are closed or there's no childcare available, we can't really bring employees back to work if there is nowhere for their children to go. So without school or without summer camps or without childcare's open, we can't begin to open businesses and have businesses available to provide, you know, full service to customers without them. I think it also has an impact on the level of income that people have. You know, if you qualify for unemployment, yes, the CERB has been made available for a period of time. But if these layoffs continue a little bit longer, we may end up seeing, you know, people not able to afford some of the things that they were affording prior to the pandemic. So everything from, you know, new clothes, eating out, entertainment, all those types of more disposable income things probably will see a bit of an impact.
I know some of the areas that have been identified as concerns have been things like rent. Have you heard any concerns around those kinds of things? So some of the more infrastructure type issues rather than just staff and staffing?
What I would say is that we did talk to the businesses in Northumberland about a short-term plan for coping with restrictions and closures. A lot of them started right away with closing the doors temporarily and then moving on to technology upgrades and seeking some of the financial assistance from the number of programs that have been offered, both primarily from the federal level of government. The talk about rent relief and rental payments, that is a big concern that people have had. Property taxes comes into play in those conversations. They worry about things like technology upgrades, because if you weren't technologically sound prior to the pandemic, people are realizing that they have to have better technology in order to fight against it, see it through, and then come through on the other side. So there are other things that have been going on other than the typical staffing.
It's really interesting that you mentioned the technology. I mean, a lot of the companies that have been able to pivot quickly to respond to this have been technically savvy people who have been able to get themselves online. I noticed just the other day that Peterborough has launched a website called The Borough, where you can go and shop locally. It's a collective effort, and you can look up different stores, different products, and then you can purchase them and then go and pick them up. Is there any plan whatsoever amongst either the chambers or even yourself at the Port Hope Chamber or any business association to do something collectively along these kinds of lines to help out the businesses technologically?
I know that there isn't a plan yet to do something as big as the borough. The borough is very lucky because they have a very strong and resilient economic development task force team. They also have, you know, their chamber is obviously a lot larger than the four smaller chambers within Northumberland County. We have been working at promoting Shop Local. We have done the gift certificate program that any business could register for to purchase the gift certificates. It is in our plan as the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce to offer some options and training for businesses if they want to learn more about e-commerce and the different types of e-commerce that are available, you know, whether it's through Shopify or whether it's through Constant Contact now has a program as well. You know, many of the tech applications are creating easier, faster ways of getting things online for these small businesses that need to be able to do it fairly quickly. So we're in the habit of sending out as much information as we can directly to the businesses so that they can themselves prepare and be prepared to pivot.
Do you think we're going down a path now that has forced us to rethink the way that business is being done as a whole? I mean, is this going to be something temporary, or do you think this is going to be permanent change?
You know, it's funny. We probably have this conversation once a day with somebody, you know, whether it be another chamber and I, or whether it be one of the businesses. You know, we wonder that exact same thing. And it's one of the things that we're interested in finding more about. And I think it's something that there isn't a lot of conversation happening, but I'm hoping that that will change as we start thinking about economic recovery. And that really is the consumer footprint, you know, so we need to make sure that businesses are prepared to handle anything should another pandemic come, should this one be extended, you know, all those things to think about from the business perspective. But what about our consumers? You know, there are three ways of looking at it now that I don't think everybody was looking at before. And that is, who really are our consumers? So who are our target market when we're trying to sell things? As a business or as a professional organization or even as a not-for-profit, who are these people that are consuming what we offer? The second thing is, what are their patterns? So are they really enjoying shopping online, and are they going to continue to do that? Or do they want to go out and visit the stores and visit the markets? And, you know, everybody you talk to talks about the fact that the one thing they miss more than anything is that personal contact, the community updates, you know, when you walk into a coffee shop or you walk into a store and there's somebody you know, that's a really big piece of something that's missing, right? So you have the target market, you have the purchasing patterns. And then I think the third piece that isn't being thought about a lot, and we've had many conversations about it in Port Hope, is the consumer confidence. So, you know, there is that worry about what happens if I go into a store again. You know, is it too soon for me to do that? Is it not too soon for me to do that? And how can we make sure that consumers feel confident to enter into every establishment store that opens their doors when doors are allowed to be opened? So I think that there are really three things that are a great unknown that we're trying to learn more and more about as we go through this, so that we can sort of foresee or be prepared to handle whichever way those three patterns or processes go after this is over.
Fascinating. There are reopening plans now underway that started on Monday. And I wanted to know, what are some of the issues facing local businesses as the province slowly works towards removing some of these restrictions?
It's a question that we are quite often asking ourselves, and I can assume for you, but I don't like to do that. One of the things that we are working on as a county is an economic recovery task force. I'm sure there'll be more and more information about that over the next couple of days, as we band together under the different industry sectors, working with a group of both stakeholders and business owners to actually define what some of those concerns are. The biggest conversation that we've had is a two-pronged approach. The first approach is, what do we need in order to get open? You know, like I talked about before, the whole childcare thing. You know, if I don't have staff because my staff's children aren't in school or can't go to day camp, then how am I going to be able to handle that? The other concern is, quite frankly, PPE, you know, the protective equipment, things like gloves and hand sanitizer and hygiene screens in between cashiers and, you know, all of those types of things. They all come with a cost, but more importantly, they all come with a need. And it's very difficult to find those things. You know, I made some calls to some of our local hardware stores over the last week to try and price out some plexiglass for some businesses that were thinking they need to put the hygiene screens up. And plexiglass is like the toilet paper of a month ago. All of a sudden you can't find it because everybody is getting ready to move on and be prepared. I think the second prong is the more long-term impacts of how they're going to be prepared and how they're going to be ready. You know, the province's framework gives 2 to 4 weeks for each phase of the reopening framework. And it all depends on how the numbers are going and how the numbers are increasing or decreasing. You know, I think that everybody is pleased that they're working with the Minister of Health and making sure that everything is ready from that side of things. Then it will just be really getting ready for either the mad rush of everybody being ready to shop or the slow decrease, like we said, with regards to customer confidence and whether or not they can go in and out of the stores.
I don't know if you've looked, but the reopening guidelines are very detailed and extremely explicit. I just wonder, you know, to what extent are businesses really sitting down and reading these guidelines and following them? I don't know how many, I mean, we've all read that, you know, you're allowed to reopen, and we know generally who's allowed to reopen and curbside pickup. We all sort of have the overarching concepts, but to really sit down and look in detail at, you know, the different sectors or, you know, what's expected if in a retail situation and as an employee, what should you expect and what should the business be doing? I mean, there are a lot of details here. And I'm just wondering how much are we aware or are businesses aware of the detail and what is required to properly open under these guidelines that are supposed to keep us safe?
I think that the businesses are very aware of the reopening guidelines, not only because the chambers of commerce are sending them out like crazy as often as we can. We share a link if a new group is given the direction that they can reopen. We share them right away, especially to those target groups or businesses that replicate. I think the other thing too is that as business owners, we want to protect ourselves first. We want to protect our staff and we want to protect our customers. So I think that although more detail needs to come out in some cases, you know, there's been a lot of questions about gray areas and, you know, and that kind of thing. I think as we continue to sort through it, groups like the Economic Recovery Task Force, feeding information through your chambers of commerce so they can advocate, you know, to both the MPP and the MP and even the municipal level, really will make a difference in the long run for those safe guidelines to come to effect.
Over the last number of weeks, we've seen a lot of innovation and a lot of creativity amongst business people responding to the current situation. Can you provide us with some examples of what you think people are doing to meet these challenges? And can you maybe share some stories about some of the unique ways businesses within Port Hope have been responding?
Sure. I think we sort of talked about it a little bit, Robert, when we talked about those with the technology tended to pivot quicker. You know, I can think of a couple of our local restaurants, you know, and that kind of thing who didn't miss a beat. You know, they could very quickly get social media messaging out there and say, hey, guys, we're open. Call in your order. We'll deliver it to the parking lot. You know, the pizza places who were saying, you know, hands-free delivery where they come and, you know, you pay with your card over the phone. They deliver to your front porch, they step back, you go out, pick it up. You know, they were able to communicate those things very, very quickly, which I think helped them to not really miss a lot as far as being able to provide service. I think there are some other unique things going on, you know, making use of the technology and the whole Zoom or Skype or, you know, any of the, you know, go-to meetings. There's so many different video programs now that, you know, we've seen everything from online yoga classes to goats attending staff meetings to, you know, just really innovative things happening on screen that I think will, in the long run, make this definitely unprecedented times, because we're all going to remember them, but also are setting us up for more success down the road.
Do you think enough's being done by the federal, provincial, and municipal governments to help business?
On a personal level or from the Chamber of Commerce perspective?
I think let's stick with the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, these times are unprecedented. So all levels of government are being faced with stuff that I don't know if anybody ever anticipated in our lifetime we would have to deal with. I think that the federal government has come up with some very unique programs very quickly, very rapidly. There are some questions and concerns about the delivery of some of those programs. And I think that it'll all come out in the wash, you know, down the road, if they were 100% impactful or not impactful. I think the businesses were given a lot of information very quickly, and a lot of them now are starting to just look at the information and decide which of these services are something that I should be taking advantage of to support myself, which of these are things that I should just stay right away from because it hasn't had a true impact on my business in that way. I think that the provincial government has done exactly what they need to, which is focus on the health side of things. You know, that's their area of responsibility. That is very much a provincial issue. Understanding, of course, that the federal government is supporting, you know, on the economic side. They have had a couple of pieces of support that have come at both levels, like the rent program that was recently introduced. I know there are still a lot of questions and a lot of sorting and concerns being raised about that program, but I do believe that the stakeholders like the Chambers of Commerce and the BIAs and the manufacturing associations and those groups are doing what they can to advocate on behalf of the memberships of those groups and the entire business community. So I do think that people are trying to do the best they can with what they've got, given the time and the circumstance. You know, when you look at other province numbers and you look at, you know, our partner or our neighbors to the south of us, we're doing some things right in Ontario, and I think we have to continue to be proud of them. When you look at our numbers in Northumberland County, again, we're doing something right. So everybody needs to continue to remember that we're all in this together, and together is the only way we're going to get through it.
Tourism is a big part of the local economy, and a number of festivals, entertainment, events, they draw a lot of people to the region, but also specifically to Port Hope. Are you concerned with the number of cancellations that have been going on, and what sort of impact do you think it's going to have?
I don't think there is anyone who is not concerned about the cancellation of, you know, everything from opening weekend of fishing to Canada Day to, you know, the art festival in August. They will have huge impacts on businesses locally. They'll have impacts directly on the festivals themselves. You know, people worry about longevity and continuation. You know, the Port Hope Fall Fair has decided that they're not going to run in September, and it's been running for over 100 years consecutively. So I do think that there is some concern. I do know that Northumberland County Tourism and the Tourism Working Group from the Economic Task Force will be focusing tremendously on those types of cancellations and the things that we can do to perhaps bring people back to our communities once everything has settled.
Are we going to see businesses go under?
I think it's a loaded question. I think the reality is that nobody wants that to happen. The other reality is that chances are it is likely to happen. You know, in the surveys that we did with the businesses, most of them said that they would definitely need help the 60 to 90 days out. So we're not quite hitting those days just yet. We're getting really close to them. So I think that we're really trying to keep a pulse on providing information, making sure they have the resources that they need, and hoping that together they're going to get through it.
What's the thing that's keeping you most optimistic about local business and the local economy?
I think for me, it's because we are, as I said in the very beginning, we're a very resilient community. You know, people work together. They are not, they may be competitors, but they're also colleagues. You know, there's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit, you know, people who won't give up, people who don't give excuses. They hit things head on. They accept their failures. They learn from them quickly, turn things around really quickly, and they make really good use of their time so that they're not absorbing their time in things that aren't going to make their business successful. I think that entrepreneurial spirit combined with the resiliency of the community is going to keep Port Hope together throughout this and beyond.
If there was a message you wanted to leave with listeners, what would it be?
I think there's probably two messages. The first message is for the businesses that are out there. I think it's really important that everybody is aware that it's okay to ask for help right now, and that there are stakeholders that are here to help. Your chambers of commerce will help. Whether you're a member of the chamber or not right now, we're doing what we can to support the business communities. You know, the Business Entrepreneurship Center, the Community Future Development Corporation, the Northumberland Manufacturers Association. Those groups alone have resources available that they can point you in the direction of the people who can help you. It's okay to ask for help. I think for the rest of the listeners out there, shop local and stay local. So make sure that you are taking advantage of, you know, the people that live next door to you and the services that they provide. So whether your accountant is usually in Toronto, maybe you should think about finding one local and staying local to support your neighbors. Make phone calls to the businesses that you used to shop at and find out if they're doing any kind of delivery, if they've got some online stuff set up. Businesses are very quickly changing from week to week. It could be different. And we really need to remember to shop local and stay local as often as we can.
Brenda, I want to thank you for talking to me today.
It's no problem, Robert. Thank you for having us. And please continue to keep doing what you do, which is keep the community informed of everything that's going on.
Thank you so much. That was Brenda Whitehead, CEO of the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce. We're going to take a quick break. Please stay tuned to Consider This on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.